Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing here on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. Super excited today to have all the way from Australia, Sherilyn Darcy. And she is an environmental artist, an author, and a botanical explorer with a passion for researching and sharing the language of plants. And her focus is really on flowers. And she's done some super cool stuff with this. She's created flower oracle cards. She's made Floresphere coloring books with botanical drawings. And she's also an expert in something called floromancy, which is sort of using flowers as divination, which is so fun for me. And she also has a new book, Floripedia, which really is beautiful and talks about the sort of correspondences and different meanings of each kind of flower. So excited to have this conversation with Sherilyn. Welcome, Sherilyn.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me. This is really exciting.
It is so fun. So yeah. I told you before we started the show that I am a gardener and and a psychic. And I my mom was really an avid, it goes back through my family, though all the women are gardeners. And I love flowers. I really do.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're sisters there because that's the same with me. I love gardening and flowers. And actually, I'm sitting here this morning. It's actually morning in Australia, and I'm in a floral dress as I usually am. So I think a lot of people have affinities for flowers. But even if you don't, they do still have meaning and messages for everybody.
So tell me a little bit about that, because even though I've been an avid gardener, I don't really know that much about this sort of divinatory or meaning aspect of flowers. Like, how did that come? Where's that come from?
Okay, well, we all have it already. We have to have it within us. It is part of our genetic makeup. It's a part of us as human beings as well. We all began as hunters and foragers, of course. And when we were foragers, we had to understand a thing called the language of plants, or the doctrine of signatures. And that's the doctrines of signatures. And I know on your show, you talk about complementary therapies as well and healing. And this is more to do with the way something, a plant looks and how it might heal us. But the language of flowers, very similar, and it has the same sorts of meanings. But these are the meanings and the energetic attributes of flowers and their plants. And we had to know the meanings of flowers. And we had to have some sort of emotional response so that we'd know where to find fruit and vegetables each season and when the seasons change. So if we saw an apple blossom, we would have an emotional response. We'd like it. We'd like the fragrance. We'd know to come back and get the apples later on. So this is where this language of flowers started. We all have it within us. We all know what it is because we're part of the universe, part of the earth. It's just that we've forgotten because we've started to live in cities. We, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us and myself at times as well, I've lived in big, busy cities. I've lived in America as well, actually. And, you know, our fruit and vegetables and sometimes even our flowers come packaged in packets. We don't even know where they come from. We don't understand the life cycle. So it's just about relearning. And those of us who are gardeners, you know, I like to try and share with other people what I know. And I think we're relearning the language of flowers and relearning the language of plants as well. So it's within us. It just needs to be reawakened. That's all.
Well, I think it's so funny because I had this book from when I think about the language of flowers sort of from the Victorian age, you know, and it's sort of this beautiful botanical illustration that has sort of like the message, like what somebody was trying to tell you they sent you a bouquet. But and you're talking about something a little different, right?
It's a little different. It's similar. Look, throughout history, we have revisited this language of flowers. And during the Victorian period, you've got to understand, if you can remember people or you probably can't remember, none of us can, but in our history lessons and that, the Victorians were very interested in science and nature. And that's kind of where I started off as well. When I was a child, I loved gardening, but I like science as well. I love botany. And the Victorians started to learn about this, and it was actually came to them through sort of the Middle East, through trading, and then through France, the language of flowers. You know, it was sort of seen in a few different ways by people. And then a few authors, French authors and English authors during the Victorian period, really picked up on it. Now, they got a lot of them right. So if you pick up those gorgeous books, and I'm an avid collector of them, old ones and new ones, a lot of the meanings are true. Some of them are a little twisted because, of course, to own a book like that back in those times, you'd have to be quite wealthy, and they were very popular in the courts. And so in order to make your particular book wanted within the higher society and with the courts, you'd make sure that the meanings of the flowers that perhaps the queen favoured or her ladies-in-waiting favoured had really beautiful meanings or messages that they already liked. So it was kind of like, I guess, fake news for flowers at the time. So we've lost a few of the meanings that way. But it's interesting seeing the books, because I'd say most of them are about 70% to 80% correct.
It seems like that's so intriguing, you know, back in the Victorian, like secret messages between lovers, yes. You know, that kind of like a secret language you could have that where you could really communicate.
Absolutely. And really, it's one that everybody knew anyway. So, but they, and that's exactly what they used it for. And you see in Turkey as well, it was incredibly around that time in Persia, it was very popular as well, or a bit earlier, because that society as well had very strict sort of cultural and moral codes as well. So these sorts of things were used because it was just another code to them to use and to put your flowers together and make a message. And we've got the royal wedding coming up, and the royal wedding bouquets since the Victorian era have really, the brides seem to have used the language of flowers in their bouquets. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Meghan Markle has in her bouquet. But of course she will have myrtle, because Queen Victoria had a beautiful myrtle plant that's still growing in Buckingham Palace, and each royal bride since then always has a sprig of Queen Victoria's myrtle in their okay, so watch out for that one. And that means fidelity marriage and a very happy marriage. So that's what all the royal brides hope for.
Of course. Yeah. So that's kind of what, you know, like, how is it relevant? So we're not in the Victorian age anymore, and most of us don't know that, but how is it relevant to us now?
Well, I think a lot of us, you know, well, flower essences and aromatherapy, those things, these modalities, they really depend on the language of flowers. This is this doctrine of signatures, these meanings, and these meanings are the same as used in these things. So you might be able to, you can understand that lavender oil and lavender flower essences will provide calm, and the meaning of lavender is calm. It's calm, protection, safety. So you can see how these languages help us with that. Also, just in our textiles and in our homes and decorations, bringing images of flowers into our homes and even their colours can inspire that energy as well. As I said, going back to when we were foragers, flowers wanted an emotional response from us, and that emotional response is what we still get now. If we've got lavender around us, even if we see a picture of lavender, I like to use daisies actually. I don't think there's many people who can't smile when they see a daisy or even a picture of a daisy. So it brings this emotional response, and this is what you can bring into your everyday life now, and giving flowers to other people as well. So instead of just grabbing any old flowers or flowers that you like, is thinking about the person, what they may need in their life, and looking at the meanings of flowers and actually giving them something that has a deeper meaning and can and even give them some healing, some change in energy as well, is really important.
I love that. I love that you brought in the essential oils and flower essences, because those are so big right now. And I think, you know, we understand as healers, especially, that flower essences, and I love flower essences, even I think more than essential oils, but they carry the vibration of the plant, right? And it sounds like what you're saying is that the flower, of course, the flower itself has a vibration that we can benefit from just from having it around us.
Oh, yes, because the flower essences are made by putting the flowers in water, and it is the vibrational energy of that flower being imparted to the water. So just having the flowers around us, and I do a lot of study with Indigenous cultures around the world, and in my own country, Indigenous Australians will or have sat by plants and flowers in order to absorb that vibrational energy, and drunk the dew, like raindrops that come off the flowers as well. But there's indications of them actually just sitting by the flowers. So that's in their culture and in their time. So you can imagine having these flowers with us. And also I'd like to just say is try to grow your own flowers and try to source them from ethical and from farmers markets and from people like that, because the energy is going to be very different than at your gas station flowers. They really will be.
I know. It seems like gas station and supermarket flowers are really dyed. They dye them these crazy colors that kind of upset me.
And spray them. Yeah, Christmas time is just, you know, I honestly saw some last Christmas. I don't know if they've started doing that in the States because I haven't been there for a few years, but spraying them with glitter and things. And I'm like, poor flowers. And dyeing them rainbow rose. There's no such thing as a rainbow rose, everyone. That poor thing's had its stem split and then dipped in all these dyes. And I think harvesting honorably is so important. So if you grow or you select, is not taking all the flowers, because it is okay to pick flowers. They're part of the plant, and the energy of the flower is within the whole plant as well. Of course, it's going to be a bit stronger when it's blossoming, but it's just taking what you need and just being and doing so very mindfully as well, and definitely not sticking it into dyes and spraying glitter all over them.
And, horrible. And pesticides, we're really...
No.
Super big into pesticides. And my mom was an organic gardener, and she never called anything a weed. It was all the weeds were good, and they were volunteers. That's what she called them. Remove some of them, and she would not just always pull them up, but try to transplant them. She was funny. Like, she had that honoring of, you know, just because we don't value that particular plant doesn't mean it doesn't have a right to live and that it's powerful.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's a wanderer. That's what I call them. Oh dear, you're a bit lost. That's what I say. They've become a bit lost because I'm an organic gardener as well, with vegetables and fruits and of course flowers where I live. So I'm lucky at the moment. So
Well, I live in New England, and it's a tough place for gardeners because we have a long winter, and it's usually warm this time of year, and we had a very hard frost this morning, and I was like, wow, spring's never coming. And
we can never get what we call autumn fall over here. It's very warm over here at the moment. I'm in Sydney, or just outside of Sydney, and it's still like a summer day, and we're like, where's the winter?
I'm like, where's the summer? We had super hard frost. All my little flowers have cold feet. Tell me a little bit about Floromancy. Because I work as a psychic, I'm so interested in this idea of divination through flowers. Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so through my my mum, actually, I'm one of those people that say my mum's a tarot reader, but she is. She really is. She still reads tarot. She lives up in Cairns in Australia. And so I had that in the sort of background when I was growing up. And when I began my love of flowers, probably as a child, I did love them and like floral things, and I was really into sort of Peter Rabbit and Laura Ashley Prince and all these sorts of things. And then I started sort of in my early 20s looking at the language of flowers and collecting things, and I stumbled upon Floromancy, and I sort of looked at what Mum was doing with cards, with tarot cards and sometimes oracle cards, and I could see this correlation between them. And Floromancy goes back to ancient Greeks and ancient Romans. They would use actual flowers. Mostly they would cast them upon sort of ponds or big bowls of water. They would either read a reading, because it would be which flowers floated or came towards you, or even the petals, the sort of shapes that they would make, much like we'd sort of look at tea leaf reading. And I really seem to think that this is where our modern tea leaf reading comes from originally, because they would look at shapes within these petals, but definitely the types of flowers as well. There's so many instances throughout folklore, particularly in the UK and in England, where whatever the first flower of spring is that you would see, that would indicate with the language of flowers would indicate what your coming year would be. There are so many fairy tales and beautiful stories that show us divination and ways we can divine with flowers. There's the Templar Knights used to use pansies, and they would look at the lines on a face of a pansy, and this would indicate it would be how many lines would be good luck, bad luck, should they go this way or that way. And wow. So that was quite interesting, and that's pansy reading. So all this comes under floromancy. Now, it's also called flower reading, and I know flower reading is popular in some places. I've sort of come across what I would more call flower psychometry, and this is putting a flower in a bag or having a bunch of flowers and sort of which one you pick out. This can the person can use this as a tool to read, and it's usually in psychic readings to look and also with mediumship as well. It doesn't really take the type of flower into account. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fantastic, and flowers are a really good vibrational conduit of this sort of energy. But floromancy really centers and focuses on the meaning of the flower and what it can mean for you as well. And I read with fresh flowers, and I can do that just having a chat with somebody and finding out what flowers sort of have been relevant to them in the past. Perhaps a flower's coming up to them a lot at the moment. We don't really have sunflowers around at the moment where I live. They're out of season. They keep coming up for me. And I keep stumbling across them. It's on a girl's T-shirt the other day. I saw some in the florist and I needed them for something and I couldn't believe they were there. And then someone else kept asking me about them and talking to me about them. And then I found myself absently drawing them. I have a male around me who was going through a really hard time, and he was very worried, and I was very worried for him as well. Sunflowers mean male strength, energy, survival, get well, things will be okay, there'll be a brighter day tomorrow. So it was a really good message for all of us not to give up as well. And that's how they can come up to us. And, of course, oracle cards. I do my own artwork. I do lots of different types of artwork. I do lino print, and I've got four decks out that have come out over the last few years which use the language of flowers as an oracle in the oracle decks. And I'm not the only person. There are other cards out there as well. But I make sure that the meanings are absolutely in line with the language of flowers. And you can use them just like any other oracle reading or a tarot reading. You can include them with other cards as well. And it's just the energy of those flowers and how they connect with you and how and what they can mean for you. So you can find answers with divination as well.
I love divination and I love card decks. Mm-hmm. I'm totally going to get some of your card decks because I think I'm so intrigued by this. I want to try it. So if I told you what kind of flowers that I've always loved my whole life, could you do like a little flower reading for
me? Absolutely, I can. Yeah. So just a general. If there's a certain flowers that you that are your favorite flowers or seem to come up for you, it gives you a good indication on just personal things with you as well. So sure, if you can let me know some flowers and how you feel about them.
Sure. So the first thing that comes to my mind is that I love flowers that attract bees because I love bees.
Okay. If you like flowers that attract bees, well, they all attract some sort of pollinator. That's it. They need to be pollinated. And, 99.999% are by insects. Some are by animals as well. But if you particularly like plants that are pollinated by bees, they're plants that need to be in pretty much full sunshine as well. So it usually means that you are hopefully that you're optimistic or you want to be like it's a very up sort of person and a go-getter, a busy working person. Sometimes you can be a bit of a workaholic as well. And
that's
there's
true.
It's a danger with people who like those sorts of bees. Like those sorts of flowers and like bees as well, that they can take on too much. So there's a bit like, whoa, slow down a little bit there. But they're people you like to be around. They bring lots of other people together, which obviously you do with your radio show. But that's, you're the person that can organise things and get people together as well and get them working. As you can imagine, like a bee, this is the thing, and being in sunshine as well. So what sort of particular flowers, though? Is there one that's your favourite?
Well, there's a couple that are my favorite. I love Cosmo. Mm. Cosmos, and also Bee Balm, Monarda. Bee Balm, I love Bee Balm. And it's such a, it's really considered a weed in a way, but I love it.
It is, but it's amazing how many people will say that to me. I do a flower of the day on my website and on my Facebook page, and it's funny, whenever Bee Balm comes up, I seem to get so many people sort of saying, oh, I love Bee Balm. And I think it's because a lot of people who do follow me like the divinational aspects, and Bee Balm actually does mean guidance and divination, and it
means it does.
So it's a really cool one for people who are psychics to connect with and have around you as well. It can mean getting a little bit too lighthearted and skipping along a little bit, but it means visions and also change and helping people sort of find change as well. So I always smile when I see people say that in a way. I sort of think, oh, that's really nice. And I know these are the sort of people that like those sort of things. And Cosmo is always one of my sort of communication flowers. It sort of almost feels unfair that I'm talking to you and know what you do, but it is about communication, but also peace and tranquility. And it's one of the flowers that we can give to someone else to inspire love. And I think I've actually got a neighbour who's got them growing out the front, and every time she talks to me about them, she has this sort of tranquil, loving face, and she's like, oh, my cosmos, you know. And I'm like, yeah, they do. Mm. They do that. They have a really lovely energy. So that's
funny.
Yeah, those two. So they really align with what you do, Lisa.
That's so funny. I had no idea. Yeah. And the other one that I mean, I love lavender and roses. I have a million roses in my garden, and I love them and I care for them. And half of them die every year because it's hard. Yeah. It's hard for roses in New England. But
exactly.
And then orchids. Ever since I was a little kid, I am absolutely fascinated. I love to go to botanical gardens, and I go into the hothouses, and I love to see the orchids like growing. Oh, I love them.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said to start with, and I just went hothouses and went, oh, orchids, right. When I have talks, I do this to people, and I love orchids. I say, who likes orchids? And it's funny because these people put their hands up the straightest, like, and there's always only just a handful usually in a room.
Love that.
And I'm like, the orchid people, the crazy people, you're all my people. You're a little obsessed about things and very unique. This is it. People who like orchids like uniqueness, and they usually do things a little bit differently as well at times. And people who like orchids are very interested in otherworldly things, as you are, and also in changing things and trying to change things that may seem impossible as well. If you think about them, they're not really of this world, orchids, even the way they look at them. You look at them, they don't even look like an ordinary flower. They look like a little alien. And these are the indications when you're trying to figure out what the language of flowers are and what the meanings are. It's amazing when you just start to think about what they look like and what you think what the meanings could be, and then you go and look them up, and through me or other people who research these things, and you think, oh, yeah, I was pretty much on the right track, because, as I said, this language, these meanings are within us already. Like, we do know them. It's just that we need to reawaken them. So, yeah, when you look at an orchid, you can see how – and the scent of some of them, I mean, they don't smell like anything, do they? They're just otherworldly.
Yeah, they totally are. And I'm looking around my office right now. I have three orchids in my office, and I just have always loved them. And I also love that sort of traditional – it's sort of it's odd considering how strange my other ones have been, but that – combination of lavender and roses that they're grown together and very formal like English gardens, like that, something that I also love.
And that's about protection, and if you like the orderliness of them when they grow, that is about boundary protection as well. But roses, all roses and lavender, protection and cleansing with lavender, but they're very protective plants. And roses particularly, they're our highest vibrational plant, as far as if you think of and whatever you believe in. So it's divinity and the highest vibration as well. And that's why we have been so attracted to them and have bred them and have them in our gardens as well. There's something that I think we mistake the fact that they all mean love, because it's more sort of like passion. And if you think about holding a rose to you, it really does have that real centered feeling of upliftingness, and that's what they have. And then each of the colors and the types do have other layers of meanings as well. But yeah, that's Yeah, roses. That's I love so them cool. too.
I do too. And I just know that you have a lot of trainings on your website. So can we talk a little bit about how people can get your book and how they can connect with you?
Okay, well, my website is SherilynDarcy.com, and my name is spelled with an E. But also you can look up florisphere.com, because that'll connect you in as well. And on my website, there's lots of connections to all my social media platforms. I'm pretty social on social media. I like making new friends who like flowers and gardens and flower readings as well. I do offer online courses, one in flower reading, and that it's lifetime access if you'd like to join me with that. And I love that. I love chatting with the people who do that. I was self-published to start with 5 years ago before I was picked up by an Australian and a UK and an American publisher. And so I have a course there that shows you how to create your own oracle cards if you'd like to get started, and also how to approach publishers. And because I'm an art and craft teacher, there's a new course that's starting next week, which is Flower Heart, and we look at the language of flowers and we create mixed media flowers as well. But my books and my oracle cards are available, I know, from Barnes and Noble, everywhere, online and everywhere. I've got a new deck that's just been released a couple of weeks ago, Flowers of the Night Oracle, and that's in lino print, and it's flowers that bloom and are connected with the night. And then there's a few other decks, and Flowerpedia that you've just mentioned, which is 1,000 flowers and it's their meanings. It's a handbook. It's one you can carry around everywhere and look up the meanings of over 1,000 flowers, and it gives you a kickoff to look for others. That's available as well. That's just been released as well. And you can ask your local bookstore as well. If they don't have it, they can get it in for you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Sherilyn.
It's okay. It's a pleasure.
So fun having you on the show and talking about this such a fun topic, and really appreciate you calling in all the way from Australia.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've absolutely loved it. It's been wonderful meeting you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank all of you guys out there in Empower Radio Land for joining us here today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time.